Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More. I'm your host, Lori Frazee, and it's Tuesday, so that meant it rained all afternoon here in Dunellen, Florida. But what's going on at my place, the Barn Goddess World Headquarters, is if you happen to follow any of my Facebook posts, I have been making my first round of bacon. And last week I mentioned that Mad Hunky Meats Rich, and Doug Kiles have kind of been helping me out, and I probably abused Rich more than I should have, but it's on the Sweet Smoke Q drum, getting it slow smoke. We're at 7 hours of slow smoke, and let me tell you, a cool or cold smoke is very difficult to do in the state of Florida. I have it under shade. I have the amazing smoker in there, and it's been interesting to play with today, but it looks beautiful and pictures to follow. So again, I want to thank, I've really been abusing Rich during the week, and of course today after I made the post, Todd from Amazing Products, he made a little note on there to make sure I put enough pellets in, and you know, there's so much moisture with the rain, it was actually hurting the smoke. So even though I have the Sweet Smoke Q drum under a tent, it's kind of interesting, but it's fun. If you haven't done it, I highly suggest it. In Florida, we had a pretty good-sized contest in the Live Oak area, Smoking on the Suwannee. Damon Woolley and his group up there, they do a good job, and I'd like to congratulate Josh and Thomas Henry. They won Grand Champion, and Rub Bagby took reserve, so congratulations to those boys. In Florida, to stay a certified judge, you have to judge at least once every 12 months and not let that overlap. Well, because I've competed so much this year, my time was growing near, so I judged this weekend, and actually there were several other teams that got their judging in this weekend too, but I'd like to thank my table. I got to table captain. I had a great table that got to work with, and so I'd like to thank them. It's always fun because we really saw some different things. We had some great food. We had some really interesting things. We actually saw a lollipop chicken leg this weekend, which we haven't seen in a while, and saw a cupcake chicken, the true cupcake chicken thigh that was very good. I mean, whoever did it, don't know who it was, but believe me, it was spot on from moisture. So I really enjoyed it, and I know that everybody enjoyed that up there. I'd like to thank my sponsors. Sweet Smoke Q, besides the fact I really have found many uses for that Sweet Smoke juice can, the beef juice is out. I got some over the weekend. It was just a small run, so he's not doing anything special yet because he was going to be out by the weekend. So, but what we do want to talk about is Jim's got a school coming up. He has a few more places. So if you're interested in being part of his school, it's going to be August 2nd and 3rd. Jim doesn't hold anything back. So it really will help your cooking ability to be part of Jim's school. He does have some spaces. Go to his website, sweetsmoketheletterq.com, and you can get more information or private message him on Facebook, but be doing that pretty soon because I know that he's just about filled up there. So, you know, check him out and like to thank him. You know, I use his sauces and his pork injection, and now we really have a regular supply of the beef injection, which I'm super excited about. Also like to thank my sponsors, Pirate 50. You know, this past weekend, being at the contest and getting to walk around and chat with everybody, it's always weird when you're a judge because you don't want anybody to think that you're, you know, looking at their stuff, and you might be able to remember it. Let me tell you, I've cooked with some of these guys, and I couldn't tell you what their stuff is because as you know, if you're cooking competition, you want your stuff to always look great, but you don't always know what it's going to look like. So got to go around, but I saw lots of Pirate 50 signs again this weekend. He definitely has really gotten those signs out into the competition circuit. I'd like to thank Royal Oak. Jim Berg was there this weekend, Killer Bees, and he was by himself. He was in his little baby beehive. And actually, you know, I didn't see where how Jim did this weekend, but he was by himself, so I got to sit and chat with him a little bit. But I saw this Royal Oak banner up, and I'm like, oh, I didn't realize who else in the FBA was sponsored by Royal Oak. And as I peeked around the banner, there it was Jim, and he uses that Ultra Super Duper blend. You know, I use the Royal Oak briquettes, and I use the lump charcoal, and, you know, I kind of jokingly say I can't get over how long it lasts because I've been using the same basket in the juice can for two contests now. Well, actually, it was a third contest, so I'm finishing it up. I burned some of it up today, and then to slow smoke in that juice can, you just use the little Amazon smoker, so I'd like to thank Royal Oak. They really great product. I'm super happy with it. And also cookandpellets.com. If you're in the market for a good premium pellet, check out cookandpellets.com. They're on Facebook and, of course, the World Wide Web, cookandpellets.com. It's a premium pellet. There's no fillers, which is kind of funny when you go to slow smoke because it burns extremely slow. And Mad Hunky Rich, as I call him, he actually said because of the moisture in Florida, you know, set them in the microwave, do a few, you know, I actually did a minute and a half in the microwave, and boy, it was almost like a toasty cherry in the house. It really smelled great. But, you know, you don't think about a premium pellet burning so much slower, it affecting something like a cold or a cool smoke. So anyway, check them out. They're a great premium pellet. They have 100% hickory also. So if you're a hickory boy or girl and you want to find a premium hickory pellet, he does sell the 100% hickory as well as the premium mix or the perfect blend, which is what I use. I'd like to thank Mac Daddy Smokers. One of the guys at the contest tonight had not met him before. I could see it from far away as I was walking around. He has one of the cabinet smokers for Mac Daddy, and he's super happy with it. I have not cooked on one yet. It's a 2x2x5-foot tall, and it's efficient, which is, you know, like my regular smoker. I've got the Pit Viper, super efficient cooker, but a 2x2 space, you know, 5-foot tall, yeah, you're not putting a ton, but for your big meats and putting it in a, if you're looking at a trailer and you need some space, he's got that, but he also has that gigantic cabinet that you could cook gin in if you want to, because if you look at Mac Daddy Smokers on Facebook, Jen, who's the office manager over there, she gets in those cookers to kind of show you how big they are, so check them out. And then also RecTech Pellet Cookers, super happy with my RecTech. You know, if I could have cold smoked on it today, I would have, but they max out or bottom out at 180. So if you can need to go to 180 plus, check them out, and you'll be super happy you do. I'd like to also thank my guests from last week. I had Heath Hall and Julie Merrigan on from last week, from the week before American Grilled. Really enjoyed chatting with them. Heath's been on the show before. Super interesting guy anyway, but we're wishing him a lot of luck in his new business venture. And remember, it's venture capital. So if you are a barbecue entity looking to, you know, raise some funds, Heath Hall may be somebody that you'll be looking at in the near future. Also, Junior Urias from Junior's Rub from Grub was on, kind of just catching up with him. And then we had George Hensler on. George was actually a judge at the American Grill 2 weeks ago. But, you know, George is an author. We've had him on before, and he's a lot of fun. He writes for the Bull Sheet as well as National Barbecue News. And we're going to go straight to our first guest tonight. And let me see. My little mouse didn't want to work. Rex, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you real good, too. So we've got Rex Holmes with us, and we're going to talk American Grilled. Rex, first, how you doing out there? Everything good where you're at?
Yeah, everything's going great here in Virginia. Nice and warm.
Yeah, it's pretty much warm everywhere. You know, let's talk about where you guys were, because you were actually downtown in a park, weren't you?
Well, yeah, we were downtown Charlottesville, Virginia.
Okay.
It's like right near the campus of the University of Virginia.
Yeah, and how was the spectators where you were?
You know, we were right in front of a courthouse, so we didn't have too many people, but every once in a while you'd see a few people in the background.
Yeah, because I guess in front of the courthouse. And you guys, did you film on a Monday or a Tuesday?
I believe it was, you know, it was so long ago, I can't remember. I think it was a Monday.
Yeah, but I mean, the courthouse was actually happening, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a weekday.
Yeah. And, you know, you were mentioning it was so long ago. You guys were actually part of the three-part early series that I kind of almost call, you guys were like almost a pilot, weren't you?
I think so. I think actually we filmed, I don't know when we filmed, but we were a part of the first three.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And
I think they might have changed the format just a little bit for the later episodes.
Yeah, they still didn't have the name firmed up. You know, it was being called potentially Grilled. Weren't even sure if the Travel Channel was picking it up. But you guys had an interesting group. You had Grilling with Rich. You had yourself.
Yep.
And, you know, it had you down as, well, of course, now wait, I'm just going to point this out. You called yourself the Grill Geek.
I do like technology. I'm an engineer by trade, so.
Oh,
anytime I can
get
my hands on some electronics, I love it.
So I thought, didn't it say, are you a patent attorney?
I am.
Okay, so but you're an engineer by trade, by
I'm
way
an engineer,
of being a patent.
Then I went to law school, and
okay.
Now I'm a patent attorney, living the life.
Living the life. Living the life with a new baby in the house, too, right?
Oh, yes. It's not much sleep these days.
So let's talk about the first round, because we've got Jim coming on after you. Let's talk about that first round, because, you know, as you looked at what happened, you had Rich from Grilling with Rich. You had Corey, who is a 30-plus-year chef. And
yes.
Then you had Big Jim Stansel, who competes pretty regularly on the barbecue circuit. So in your first let me ask you this. You had Lisa Bacon, which I thought, no pun intended, since it was an episode about
greatest
all
last
things.
Name ever.
Huh?
That was the greatest last name ever.
Yeah, especially because it was all things pig. So I'm like, oh, my God, no pun intended. I thought for sure you guys would make a big joke about it. And he had Famous Dave for judges as well as David Goss, the host of the show. But so kind of walk us through the first one. You guys had country ham and watermelon.
And watermelon, yes. When they flipped that lid, I knew it was going to be something that would be quick and easy to cook, since it's a very short, that first round. I think it was 15 minutes. And you can only use gas, so I just went through and I made like a citrus glaze and then a watermelon salsa. And I grilled most everything except for the onion, and I think they pointed that out in the episode.
Well, you know, David, it's kind of funny as you listen to just the first couple of shows. If people who are on later on had been able to watch anything, they would watch Red Onion. They would watch that he really likes rare steaks.
Yep. No, it's good to know. I mean, I wish I could have done a little more research on him.
Yeah, absolutely. But so you kind of made the little salsa with the ham included in it, and then Rich made the macaroni and cheese with ham and the grilled melon. Now, when you guys came to the judging time, they beat Rich up over the that it was a little on the soupy side, and they beat you up about it being a smaller, maybe not as much ham. Were you surprised that you guys got such thin pieces of ham? Because I was surprised to see that.
It looked like a big slab, but it was sliced in the middle.
Right.
So it was like, I wasn't too surprised, because otherwise it would have been impossible to even warm up in that the amount of time that they gave us. But I just was amazed at how fast the time went.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the first competition like that I've ever been in, and it just flew by.
Yeah, there's a lot more stress there than people realize, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. And the first thing I did is I grabbed dishes, and I ended up, because I was like, it's an appetizer, so I grabbed the small plates, and that's why
right.
There wasn't enough ham. Is after I started plating it, I was like, oh, my goodness, there's no room.
Yeah.
And
and
then it ended up hurting me.
I mean, even though I felt like they beat up Rich a little bit on his mac and cheese, I thought it was very ambitious to try and do it. And that's a 20-minute round, that starter round.
I can't even remember. Once again, it was so long ago.
Yeah.
I wish
I could
remember all that.
Even with 20 minutes, you can't hardly do a pasta, let alone a macaroni and cheese. So it was extremely ambitious. And if he had pulled it off, they would have been doing backflips.
Yeah, if he would have pulled it off, I would have probably would have gone home. I guarantee it.
Yeah, they I kind of think they called you guys out on that first round, but then you went on to the second round, and and I see you have a new shirt on your website.
Yes, my website SaverReviews.com. I posted a new shirt to allow everyone to have a chance to bask in my glory that is dropping the cheese. And I dropped the cheese t-shirts out there, and they've actually been a pretty good seller.
Really? That's
yeah.
When I saw that, that's a lot of good humor into this, because like you said, you haven't done some kind of competition like this before, so you know that's great humor. And so let's just kind of quickly go through what you did, and let's see, our ingredients for the second round was a pig's head, Marmac cheese, and Virginia peanuts.
Yes. Well, the first thing I wanted to do was roast my peanuts. And everyone knows shelling peanuts takes a lot of time, and they don't give you that much time to do the round. So I was going to just kind of warm them up in the shell to get the oils flowing out of them. And then I would just, shell what I needed. Well, come to find out, I kind of put them a little too close to the fire, and now every time they do a promo for that show, they show my peanuts on fire. I mean, it doesn't matter what episode; those peanuts are on there. It was TV gold.
But you weren't the only one that had issues with fire, because you guys did have such fatty content in your meat. So you're not the only one that had problems in the fire. So
that pig jowl, I mean, as we all know, that's like 60-70% fat.
Right.
So cooking that was a lot more difficult than I think we all thought it would be with the grills that were given to us.
Had you ever used anything like that before, Rex?
The pig's head or the grill?
The grill.
I've used a similar one, but I've never used that exact model, no.
Yeah, because I saw in the promo you had said that you have a lot of grills.
Yeah, no, I like to collect the Weber grills on Craigslist. Every time I find one, I like to, give it a new home in my backyard.
Oh, so you're a Weber grill fan, huh?
Yeah, I just love them. I'm getting into the stainless steel performers. I'm a big fan of those.
I'm a huge fan of stainless steel anything. So, and I don't know the performer, but I am fascinated by that gigantic kettle that they have.
Oh, the ranch kettle?
The ranch kettle.
Oh, I want one of those. But the older performers, they're the ones that are like the one-touch gold with a side table.
Oh, yeah.
And they usually have like gas assist. The newer ones have a plastic table, and the older ones have stainless steel tables. And so they're gold when you can find those.
Okay, well, you give us something to look out for. I know that we're going to – I hate that we're kind of a little rushed with you tonight, and I bless you for coming on with me at a last-minute deal. Rich was going to be in Maine. But let's talk just real briefly about – because we didn't get to or they didn't really highlight the fact that you do have this website. And tell us a little bit about it and what you're doing on that site.
Well, you can either get to it through rexbbq.com or savoryreviews.com. And it's just a recipe site. I do a lot of crazy stuff on there. I recreate a lot of dishes from chain restaurants, and then I make them even crazier by adding more bacon.
Oh.
A lot of bacon stuff, lots of pizzas. I mean, methods of barbecuing. I try to help out everyone, and usually on the grilling holidays, my website almost crashes from all the people coming to it.
Wow!
But the big hits are I did like country fried bacon with a nice bacon sausage gravy. People like that one. I do that my own version of like a fatty. People just love bacon weave, so I try to do a nice bacon weave at least once a month.
Right.
It's pretty popular with that.
Well, so you can get to it, though, by rexbarbecue.com. Is that your team name from the competition circuit?
Yeah, Rex Barbecue. It actually used to be Rex's Red Hot Barbecue.
Uh-huh.
But when I started doing a little catering, everyone was like, we don't want your barbecue because it sounds spicy.
But
we just threw the Red Hot in there because my wife was like, we like the name Rex and we've got to make it roll off the tongue. So we just made it Rex's Red Hot and ended up coming to bite us in the butt.
Well, and so let's finish up your round. We'll go back to that real quick, and then Jim is on the line here. But so you had the Marmac cheese, and that's where your famous line comes in. Tell us what happened with the rest of your round.
Well, I was trying to get a nice little grill mark on the cheese just quickly because it's a solid cheese. It's not a soft cheese. So I thought I could get at least a little grill mark. So I used my spatula to push it down to get a nice grill mark on it. And when I lifted it up, that cheese melted right to that spatula, and it landed right on the ground.
Yeah, and I said, my fiance goes, oh, my God, he dropped the cheese. And I said, I'll bet you $10 he didn't know it stuck to the bottom of the spatula.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, they were doing an interview, and I was like, I guess I didn't drop the ball. I dropped the cheese. And I'll be honest, I had no idea I said that. all those one-liners, they just happen. You don't think about those. And I was as surprised as everyone that I said it.
That's funny. No, and you know, at least you got good humor about it. I'm guessing if you were asked, you'd do a show again, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And have fun with Big Jim. It was the first time I ever met him was on the show, and I've grown to really like that man. He's a funny man.
And I will say, wonderful save with the peanuts, because you did have so few, but you didn't need many to do what you did with them. So that was really a quick save, because that time goes pretty quickly too.
Oh yeah, and I think I only had 5 peanuts that survived the flame. And I picked them out with my bare hands, and after the end of that episode, I had no hair on my hands. So it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. And then if I ever get another opportunity, I would love to do it again.
Well, and you did. I mean, you guys all did a really good job. I know we're a little rushed today. I appreciate your time and coming on with us. And keep us posted, because I'll make sure I'd like to, reprint your website or share it on my Barn Goddess page too, so people can get
great.
To it. Yeah.
And I just want to let everyone else know out there, if you go on Twitter, if you tweet at Travel Channel, use a hashtag Bring Rex Back and hashtag American Grilled, because I would love to get back on there, even if I wasn't the runner-up.
I was going to say, now, wait a minute, you're starting your own campaign. I don't know if I can.
Oh, yeah. Bring Rex Back. I want to go. I want another shot at it.
Well, well, good luck with that, Rex, and we'll be watching to see what else is going on with you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, Rex. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Rex Holm, and he was the second individual eliminated on American Grilled last week. And can you hear me, Jim?
I can hear you.
And I can hear you perfectly. We've got Jim Stansel on with us. Jim, and I'll call you Big Jim. I thought that was funny. David was very specific to continue to call you Big Jim. What's the name of your team for competition so that somebody that may not know who you are, too?
The name of our team is Bare Knuckles Barbecue, just like a bare knuckle fight, but just barbecue.
Okay.
I'm not sure how we got that name, but maybe my attitude is a little bit to do with it in my younger days.
A little bare knuckle?
Little bare knuckle attitude there.
A little bare knuckle attitude. Now, you actually were on Barbecue Pitmasters, weren't you?
I was on Barbecue Pitmasters for a very short period of time, yes.
Well, hey, I think Papa Neil is the one to say at least you weren't sitting on your ass watching it. You were out there doing it. You know,
well,
that's
what you got to do. You got to put yourself out there and do it, and you got to take your lumps when they come, and it's all a good experience at the end of the day. You know, we get to all get to do what we love to do, and sometimes they put us on TV, so it's even better.
It's even better. Yeah, and so since you kind of – you knew what pretty much to expect, but – you know, since you were on for a short time on Pitmasters, you know, whether it's one episode or three episodes, you know, you still get that exposure. You came back with a little bit different attitude to do the show, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was. I think everybody has that different mentality when they come back for a second time. I think they're a little more focused on what they're doing.
Yep.
And especially if you kind of know the format. And so when we first did it, ours was the first episode on that next season, so nobody really knew what the format was, and they didn't give us a whole lot of information. And so some of the guys cooking later on that year were at the contest watching, and so they got a little insight, and not that it was anything difficult. I mean, you know, you're given some items to cook. They're barbecue items or they're grilled items. You should be able to cook them. And you know, sometimes at contests the same thing happens. It just doesn't work out, and except for this time, you just have a camera poking in your face, and
right.
It's a little bit distracting at times. But once you're there and you're doing it, you tend to just leave that alone until they ask you to say something again or ask you to do something again, that kind of stuff. But they're pretty good about it. Those folks know what they're doing, and they know how to get the best out of you. So it's a good experience no matter what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I mentioned that because, you know, Robbie Royal winning Barbecue Pitmasters, he definitely came back with a different attitude. And, you know, I've had him on, and we've talked about that. And the same thing with you. You know, you came back with that attitude, and you were probably a little more determined than, you know, those guys might have realized because of your past experience to come in and, you know, and win it all. So why don't we just kind of – let's go to the second round, which was the Pig's Head.
Mm-hmm.
You probably were the most familiar with a Pig's Head, weren't you?
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, we cook whole pigs and hogs sometimes, but we don't necessarily take the whole – I mean, you're talking about a half a head.
Yeah.
So normally when we cook a whole pig, we have a whole head, and so if
right.
you want to take – pieces of cheek meat out, you can do a lot with two pieces of cheek meat. You can do a lot with the tongue, with the snout, with the brains, all that stuff if you're just kind of trying to go down that culinary road where you want to do a little something more eccentric, but you also have to look at your audience and who's sitting there. And so with a half a pig's head, it really was not an option to cook anything of any substantial amount.
Right.
I mean, there was just not a whole lot of meat there. And so, you know, I cut the jowl out of mine. I got just enough to slice some up and put with the lardo or the whatever you want to call it, the fat, the lean. It's lardo,
right.
basically, on the head there. And, you know, I just grilled it like bacon. And I think everybody did the same thing there. There's not a whole lot you can do there.
No.
If you wanted to do tongue, it would be really good if you like that kind of stuff. But you have to boil that and break it down. There just wasn't time for that. If you wanted to do pig ears, you could do the same thing, but not enough time to break it down. And so you have to go with something that you can do quick and that will take some seasoning. And, of course, like you said earlier, you know, everybody's grill caught fire.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you're 60 or 70% fat, you just have a little bitty piece of leanness in there, it's going to catch fire, and there's
right.
nothing you can do about it. And so I was busy chopping or cutting or doing something, and I heard Famous Dave go, "I think Big Jim's got a fire over there." And until he said that, I heard him. I turned to look and go, "Oh, shit, my grill's on fire." And, you know, I mean, I didn't panic. I opened it up, and it burned every hair on my arm, but that's part of grilling. So I just reached down there with the tongs and started flipping them over and like nothing was going on, because it really didn't surprise me. I mean, I lost a few pieces, but it wasn't anything that would go crazy. But, yeah, the pig head was pretty – it was a pretty easy deal as far as, hey, there's only so much you can do with this right here, and so we're going to cut what we need to cut off of it. And the ingredients, you know, you're on the show too, so you know that pantry is relatively limited as far as a starch vessel or something, because,
right.
You know, when you have something like that, it needs to kind of be – encompassed. It needs to have something to break that fat up, even though when you put that good crisp on that fat, it's really good, it's tasty, but you need to put something with it.
Yeah.
And so the taco was the easiest thing, and it was surprising to me. I looked up and Corey had a taco too, and I went, this is perfect. And so they were comparing, and somebody told me, said, well, you know, when you have a short amount of time to do something and you know what your ingredients are, you know, typically experienced people will automatically go for that kind of deal. They'll end up being in the same realm. And I think that, you know, Rex's deal with his was the pork jowl and the sweet potato he made. And I saw the sweet potato. It was beautiful. He just threw them right there in the charcoals and
yeah.
charred them up real good. And I think that two of the three judges really liked that. They liked the flavor, but I think one of them didn't really like the char. And then the fact that he didn't get the cheese on the plate or he didn't quite finish his dish. Had he finished his dish, it might have been a little closer. It might have been me going that round as opposed to him, because I could only get one taco on the plate. Because I had burned up a couple pieces, and I said, well, you know, we'll make one taco really good. And so that's what we did, and, you know, they fussed a little bit, but it's part of it. I mean, you're not going to do three perfect dishes when you're doing something like that
No.
under the pressure of being there doing that.
Yeah, I loved your comment about the Chipotle side. It's hotter than 400 hell.
Listen, I use Chipotle's all the time. I make Chipotle mayo. I make Chipotle sour cream. And I buy this brand that's local here that's in adobo sauce. If I don't have time to roast my own and make them, then I buy it in a can,
right.
and it's really nice. It's a good product, and it's quite solid. So I'll cut the ends off of them and scrape the seeds. And the adobo sauce is basically a barbecue sauce.
Yep.
So it's got a little sweetness, and so it's a really dark mahogany-colored pepper. I wish I could remember the name of it, but I can't. So when I saw the Chipotle's, I automatically knew I was going to make a peanut Chipotle sauce, because there's not a whole lot you can do with peanuts. I mean, Rex did a really good thing with them. He sprinkled them on there, but I knew I was going to just shuck them and throw them on the grill and let them get warm and then throw them in that sauce. But it turned out when I opened those Chipotle's, they were orange. And automatically
oh, really?
I knew. Yeah, oh, they were bright orange. So I touched them just to taste them, and they were warm then. So I said, well, I'll put a little oil in there. I'll put some, you know, just a tad bit of sugar and some salt, and I'll double-check them at the end. And, some, you know, I put some lime and some garlic, and I threw them in the food processor and blended them up with the peanuts. And I was just fixing to spoon them on the tacos when I said, you know what, maybe I should just taste this just to check it. And because I was pretty good on time on all mine. I mean, it looked close, but I was pretty good on time. I was never stressed with time. I mean, I was always stressed with making sure everything was right.
Right.
And I tasted, and it was really hot. I mean,
oh.
I love hot food, but it was hotter than the corn, the peppers that were in the corn. She complained. I can't remember her name, but she complained about the corn and the peppers being too hot.
Lisa Bacon, because remember it was bacon.
Lisa,
I just couldn't believe that.
I kept thinking it was bacon. I kept saying, I was listening to Rex say bacon, and I said, that lady's name's not bacon. I don't think that's right. And so it was really hot. And I looked around. There's no apple juice. There's no orange juice. There's nothing to break down. And there was a bottle of water. You know, you can remember they put like three bottles of water under the grill.
Right.
In case you needed to pop a bottle open and knock your flames down. And I just opened that bottle up and chugged about a quarter of it in that hot sauce and stirred it up real good and tasted it, and it was perfect. And so I got really lucky because that was really the last thing I was putting on the plate besides the cheese. But those chipotles were really hot. I mean, and they were hot, and they made it a point to say, "Kim, what did you say? I don't remember what you said." I said, "They're hotter than 400 hell. They're hot." You know? And, oh, my God, my wife, she works for public safety, but all the troopers in there are just busting on me. "I need you to get a shirt that says hotter than 400 hell." I said, "I ain't printing no more damn shirts." I mean, it's just something I say. It's like Rex says, there's a million one-liners. You forget half the stuff you say and the stuff you do. I mean, it's been so long ago. But yeah, you know, it's one of them deals where you're just like, God, that's hot. What am I going to do with this? Because they're, you know. And so, it's just one of those deals where you just use what's in front of you, and that's how you have to do it. It's just about adapting with that time going.
Absolutely. Adapting and overcoming is what you did. Mm-hmm. So we're on to the third and final round. You're in the finals with Corey. Rex has been sent home because he dropped the cheese, which I think that's hilarious, his shirt. And you get pork butt, pig's feet, Virginia apples, and red wine. I kind of, you know, I watch the show always before we get a chance to chat at night. And Corey actually does this little zing like, "I'm not going to poach the apples and the wine." Zing. He said something about it's 70s-ish.
Right.
So,
well, I didn't actually poach them in the wine. I grilled them first, and then I put them in the wine because I really, to be honest with you, I didn't think the wine was going to thicken up enough to use it for my sauce. And so I said, well, you know what? These apples ain't just going to look good laying there grilled. Let's just throw them in there. And so I grilled them. They had some really good char on them, but I was afraid they were going to lose a little bit of that crispness, and they were pretty good. I was surprised that they turned out so well, but I did. I checked them all, and did I think it was from 1970? No, I thought it was an ingredient that was in front of me that I needed to do something with.
Absolutely.
And grilling them with salt, you know, and putting them in the wine just to change it up a little bit, and I thought it was a good idea. Did I think it was 1970s? No, I didn't think it was 1970s. I thought it was worth it. Be honest with you, I think it was worth $10,000 what I think
it
was worth.
Go.
So he can say whatever he wants to say. But I thought they tasted great. You know, I don't think they specifically showed it what they – you know, there's so many comments they made that they don't get to the screen, but – They were extremely happy with those apples. They didn't have a problem with them at all because, you know, I didn't get them so soft there because at one point in time I was thinking, I'll just make some applesauce.
Right.
I'll crush them up in this wine and I'll strain them out and I'll make some applesauce. Because you think about pork chops or pork and applesauce.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, I was in my head when I saw that, I was thinking, applesauce, pork shoulder and applesauce. How am I going to make applesauce? How am I going to grill it and make it? And so it just turned out where it did. I mean, You have to, when they show you the ingredients, you have to, okay, here's my plan, and you have to execute it. Obviously, you might have a little hiccup going down through there, and you might have to change a little bit. But for the most part, my stuff went to plan pretty accordingly to what I was thinking in my head. So.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, because they never, none of you guys actually ever said anything, or if you did, I missed it. Was that a sweet wine? Because I didn't know that Virginia was as big a wine producer as it is. Was it sweet, or was it like Cabernet?
I think it was more of a in-between that Cabernet. I don't think it was quite as heavy as a Cabernet. It was, you know, I smelled it. I'm not a wine guy. I smelled it, and then I tasted it with a spoon, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't quite as sweet. So what I did was I added some brown sugar and some salt to it just to try to, you know, to give it some thick, to tighten it up. And so I didn't think it was that sweet, but the apple was really good. It was a good, sweet, firm apple that was going to hold up well under grilling. And so when I peeled it, I cut it up, put it on the grill with some salt. You know, just let it go. It absorbed those flavors really nice from the wine, and it was a good thing. I mean, it wasn't something I'd be normally cooking, but, you know, half of those things you don't normally cook. You know, they're just something that you need to kind of step outside and do to They actually don't show it, but Famous Dave was a little agitated at me that I took that corn on the cob and cut it off the cob and made a little, a corn.
Oh, he was?
A grilled corn. Yeah, it was on the cob originally. And he
right.
goes, I was kind of hoping, because I heard him say, hey, we're going to get some grilled corn on the cob. And it was a sweet corn, so it wasn't just a bright yellow corn. It was a sweet corn. And so when I grilled it, I cut it off the cob, and then I tossed it in the peppers and the garlic and stuff and hit it with some lime juice. And he was like, so looking forward to getting some corn on the cob grilled.
Oh, really?
And I said, sorry to disappoint you, but this was what I had envisioned. Because I would have, at that point, I thought it would have just been plain old corn on the cob. That's all it would have been.
Yeah,
that's how
I would have looked at it, too.
Yeah, I said, there's no way in the world.
Yeah, I think what you did was great with that. I mean, it made for a relish. What did you think when you saw the pork butt? Obviously, you're looking at 50 minutes to do all this cooking, and you have four ingredients instead of three. So, what goes through your mind? Obviously, pork butt is your friend.
Yeah, I mean, he said it was a pork butt, but it was actually the shoulder. It didn't have because I was thinking, I'm cutting the money muscle off of this thing and grilling it like a tenderloin.
Like a loin, yeah.
Like a loin. I said, I'm fixing to barbecue the fire out of this thing. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And when I got it over there, it was a shoulder. There was no money muscle. It was the top part. There was no money muscle there.
Oh, so like the collar.
It was more above that,
really?
It wasn't it was above that, so it was the top part of the shoulder, had a blade bone in it, but didn't have a money muscle.
Oh, okay.
And so it was probably 12 pounds. I think
thing
was big. It was huge. And so I just got it over there and said, okay, let me cut this grain off of here. I cut two steaks or two pieces off like loins.
Yeah.
And just made a real simple barbecue rub because they didn't have that many dry ingredients
right.
over there. And so I basically salt, pepper. There was some paprika. I mean, I don't even know. I'm pretty sure there were some cumin and a couple other things over there. And I didn't even crush it. I just put it in the bowl, mixed it up good, and coated it real good, and put it on a hot grill and seared it up good. So it wasn't... it wasn't that difficult. I mean, they don't show it, but the host walked over there, and he goes, that's a pretty big piece of meat. Are you going to get it done? I said, oh, yeah, it'll be done.
Oh,
There's plenty of time.
Over and ask you?
Yeah, he came over to talk to me. They didn't show it on camera, but he was on camera when he did it. He goes, that's a pretty big chunk of meat there. Are you going to get it done? I said, yeah, it's going to be good, too. So it was a little, hey, we'll just make a pork. Just some grilled pork and we'll make some au jus with the drippings and the other part was the Brussels sprouts, which I don't even know if they showed them, but the director, Neil, who you met,
he said,
when I got done, I had a half a pan of Brussels sprouts because I cooked a pile of them because I went through and picked out the best ones to put on the plates. And because they busted me about the radicchio not being grilled all the way through.
Right,
and I
right.
He's going to get some damn charring on these Brussels sprouts. I can tell you that right now. And the director came to me after it was over. He goes, those might be the best Brussels sprouts I've ever eaten in my life. And so he said,
really?
I love Brussels sprouts. He said, but they ate the whole half pan. The crew, they ate every one that was left over there on my table. So,
yeah, they actually get some pretty decent food at that, I think, because when – between times when they're cleaning your stuff, you see them take all the food, and then all of a sudden they're all eating,
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, the culinary guy, and I can't remember his name, he's pretty skilled and knowledgeable. I mean,
Very.
I talked to him after the fact. Yeah, he's pretty knowledgeable, and he was watching everybody and doing what he was doing. And so, my thought on the last round was I got some pork here that I'm going to have to trim and cut away so I can grill fast, and I got apples and wine, and I'm going to have to do something creative with this here. And so I just cut the Brussels sprouts. I was looking for cabbage, and he took the Napa cabbage, but I wasn't going to go Napa cabbage. I was going to go Brussels sprouts the whole time. I had my eyes on him. I figured if he'd get close enough to me, started to reach for him, I was going to knock him on the ground. Cause
yeah.
in my head, I'd already planned out what I was going to do. So I'm like, I'm getting those Brussels sprouts. And I took them all. You know how they give you a little basket and you can take whatever? I just grabbed everything. I didn't even leave anything for anybody. I just, whatever I needed, I just grabbed all of it. And so, you know, I don't, at that point, I was just like, I'm running over anybody at this point. I'm too close to this deal. So it was a lot of fun. And I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah, well, when you said that the pork butts were 12 pounds, I'm kind of surprised. But then again, you know, you are a big guy. So you handling that would probably be like me, you know, struggling with it. So you were just, you know, palming it like it was a softball.
No, I just kept thinking it's really big for a pork butt.
Huh.
You know, that's the biggest pork butt I've ever seen, you know. And so I remember it was really big.
Hmm.
I mean, I bet I cut 2 pounds off of it. And it was still a monster. So, yeah, it was a really big piece of pork. But, you know, I mean, I'll take luck where I can get it. It was all pork products, and I'm all familiar with all those.
Yeah.
You know, even the country ham, you know, that country ham is, I mean, it's good just on its own. And so I knew that all I had to do was get something on that thing and just get it on the grill and crisp it up, and it would be fine. So,
yeah, absolutely.
It's a really good product. I mean, that brand of country ham I've had many times, and it was delicious.
Yeah. Now the pig's feet was kind of
the trotter, as they called it.
Yeah, I mean, it
they
was
called
almost
it a
like
trotter.
It like an afterthought for them to throw that in there. I mean, what did you guys think?
It was a smoked pig's foot. It was so hard that I couldn't cut it with my knife until it was on the grill. It was on the grill maybe 35 minutes before I could ever get anything off of it.
Oh, really?
It was so hard, and I didn't know what to do with it. I mean, two or three times I thought, I'm just going to throw it in this pot of wine and let it boil in this wine, you know, and then just trim what I can trim off of it and throw it in with the Brussels sprouts. That was my deal all along, but it was so hard. And I said, well, let me make sure I don't leave nothing, and, you know, I end up putting a little piece of grizzle or a piece of hardness got in there with it mixed up. You know, you get in a hurry, you're throwing stuff in there, and a little piece got in Miss Bacon's, and she goes, I got a little piece of grizzle. And I said, well, you know.
Miss Bacon's, I'm sorry, but that's just too
funny. I said,
funny.
I could use those things for shoe soles, and they wouldn't wear out, you know. They're just.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it was an afterthought. I think it was stuck there just to intentionally say, what are you going to do with this? And
yeah.
So I really, you know, the whole time I'm thinking, man, it'd be really nice if I could just get some. Well, I was wishing I had collard greens is what I was wishing for. And so I didn't have collard greens. That's why I went to the Brussels sprouts. And so I considered, you know, throwing that in there and dousing it. But it just, you know what, it worked out better. I got the skin off of it and cut it in half and kept just grilling it, charring it as much as I could get on it and just cut as much as I cut off of it and throw it in there. But I bet you there wasn't an ounce of meat on that thing once we got done grilling it.
Oh,
so
really?
It was, it was one of those things like the cheese. You know, what are they going to do? I mean, you're going to get it on there, but there's only so much you can do with something that's
absolutely
completely processed already.
Right.
And so the cheese was completely processed. My whole idea on the cheese was is just get it on the grill, get it warm, get some smoke on it, and grate it on the taco.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I could do with it. I mean, I didn't really see a need to put thick chunks, and I think Corey cut his in chunks because he put some heavy smoke on it.
Yeah, he did.
But it's a little, you know, it's a little much, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of like ribs. When you turn ribs in for a barbecue contest, you know, my gripe is there's only so much you can do. How can you not work towards that perfect 10 appearance? Because there's only so much you can do with the ribs, you know. So I totally understand. What else do you have coming up, Jim? Are you getting ready to do some more contests? Are you catering a bunch? What else is going on with you?
Our catering business is slowed down till football season cranks up.
Okay.
I go to Maggie Valley this weekend, then I go to Dillard next weekend, then I got a weekend off where I got a new trailer coming so that I can start doing some more vending gigs.
Oh, great.
But we've got, so the first event that we've got coming up, which I'm one of the organizers in Athens, Georgia, it's August 15th, 16th. It's full on teams, but we need some backyard teams, and so you can go to the Classic City Barbecue, .com website. and check it out and get a bar. If you're a backyard team, I know there's a lot of pro teams already there, and it's full on pro teams. But we need some backyard teams, and so there that might be a place for people to go and just cook two items and get a start in the barbecue world.
Oh, is that GBA or is that KCBS?
No, that's KCBS. These are all KCBS events. And then the Miller Lite Chili Cook-Off, which is for benefits to Camp Twin Lakes, which is a not-for-profit camp that caters to special needs children. They also do special needs adults, but, you know, people with handicapped and say I think there's a organization called Kids with Cancer or something.
Yes.
When those kind of groups want to go to a camp, they take them to this camp. And so they host a lot of different nonprofits that bring their patients, kids, and stuff to this camp. I'll give you for an example is kids in wheelchairs. There's a whole lot of restrictions, but this whole entire camp is wheelchair accessible.
Oh, really?
They have a treehouse. If you've seen Treehouse Masters, one of their treehouses has been highlighted on Treehouse Masters, which is on Animal Planet. I know I'm plugging their show, but this treehouse was built on the site. It's a beautiful place. If you go to the CampTwinLakes.org website, you can see the things they do. And I went there a few days ago for a visit because I'm working with the Miller Lite people to put this event on October 3rd and 4th in Conyers, Georgia, which is a KCBS event. They have a chili contest, which usually houses 200 chili teams. This year's our first full sanctioned year, and we're hoping to get, 30 to 40 teams. But they have a zip line that goes out over the lake. And on this zip line, they have what they call a Superman sling. And they can take a child that's in a wheelchair and take him out of his wheelchair, lift him up to that zip line, and send him across that lake at 30 miles an hour.
Oh, my God, really?
And for a kid who is in a wheelchair.
Oh, my God, that'd be amazing.
Can you imagine the thrill he gets from going to a place that can allow him to feel that freedom and that kind of stuff? So I sent out a little challenge to my barbecue buddies and said, hey, look, everything we make at this contest goes to that camp. And so we've raised the prize money up to $10,000, so we need some teams. It's the same weekend as American Royal, but I know there's plenty of teams in Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida that ain't going to the Royal. So bring your butts out there and cook. Get your money in, get paid. We got plenty of space, room, and power. And it's for a worthy cause. I mean, it absolutely was awesome. You know, they took us around and showed us all the cabins are air-conditioned. They've got a zero entrance on their pool where they have aquatic wheelchairs where kids can roll into the swimming pool. There's just all kinds of facilities out there that cater to those kind of folks. And for us, we get to do what we love to do, and we can get and go and do whatever. But these kids, they get a week a year to go there and do what they do. And the camp's open 48 weeks a year. 10 weeks in the summer for 4 weeks, and then 40, the other 38 weekends they're open during the spring, fall, and summer and all that stuff in the winter. But their annual operating budget is about $4 million.
Is that right?
So anything we can do to kind of help them out or do something, I know I'm off on a little rant here, but
that's
what? It's something that I'll be donating some items to, using some of the monies that we won on the contest here to take care of some things out there. And so I'll be donating as much of my time as I can to help these folks, help these kids do what they deserve to have. There's 100 stories, and they'll all break your heart to a certain extent. But we're fortunate to be able to get out and do what we do. And I didn't realize it, but that camp is about 20 minutes from my house. I thought it was like in another state. It's like 20 minutes from my house in Rutledge, Georgia. And so it's accessible. It's 10 minutes off the interstate. They got paved roads going all the way in there, and they always welcome people to come down there and help them do stuff. And then the last event is October 10th and 11th, which is in Lawrenceville. It's an event called Rockin' Ribville. Mm-hmm. They have had a non-professional event, basically a backyard amateur event for the last I want to say 4 years, and they have a ton of people in there. And this year they wanted to make it a full-blown KCBS event. Kicker is probably only going to do 18 teams. They've got a new space, and they want to make sure they can pull it all off. These people are doing things right. They want to make sure they can cover the power and the water and the logistics of having the teams in there. So they'll probably be at 20. I'd say 24 max if a lot of teams with tents and cookers show up. But
right.
That's another one you want to get your money into and get signed up for, because the city of Lawrenceville is going to, you know, put out the red carpet for everybody. It's going to be a big event. It's going to be a nice event.
Wow. So you're busy through basically October with that. And then when you were saying that you get busy and fired back up for football, do you do some of the tailgating events at the school or
we've got a couple scheduled at UGA, and then we've got some scheduled for the Georgia Dome with the Falcons through a corporate partner, and then we're tied up until December. We've got a couple weekends here and there that are not filled up, but I'm sure that once, you know, everybody starts getting their holidays and their vacations over and they start heading back in, they'll start calling. They're already, a few of them called today, but they're already booked up. So, and then I'm going duck hunting, and I don't want to talk to nobody or see nobody or, you know, I'm going duck hunting for a couple of weeks in Mississippi and have fun with my buddies and, you know, relax and not, well, they're probably going to make me cook. I know how they do, but sometimes you just get away and get out there in the cold and watch the birds fly, and you know, something it's an awesome thing to be out there.
Yeah,
you know, normally we're outside. Yeah, we're just outside cooking. We don't really, you don't get to look around a whole lot. So we'll get to go do some duck hunting and stuff. It'll be fun.
And what kind of duck do you hunt?
Oh, well, there'll be mallards and, you know,
mallards,
wood ducks and pintails and whatever's flying down, geese, whatever, you know.
You know, I'm addicted to all the food competition shows, just probably like everybody that watches any of them. And on Food Network Star, they actually cook Muscovy, which is so funny to see in restaurants in the north, or at Disney. They serve Muscovy on the menu at Disney, and they had Muscovy duck. So I just got a, you know, huge Florida chuckle out of that.
It's amazing to me how all of a sudden duck is very popular when it's been around a long time. A lot of, you know, it's in a lot of fine places, restaurants and stuff like that. It's just people's tastes are more eccentric than they were when I was a kid, and probably when were a kid too. I mean,
yep.
kids eat things now that I'm like, God, we never ate steak when we were growing up. We had a hamburger, you know, and so now kids will eat steak. And you know, when I'm cooking stuff, my niece, she has me come over and cook at her place when she has a birthday party or something, and she wants Greek pizza or something we can cook on the grill for her. You know, just crazy stuff like that. Most kids are, they want a pepperoni pizza or a cheese pizza. She wants Greek pizza and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of, I mean, it's weird to me, but they have a better palate. They have a more eccentric taste than we did when we were kids. I don't know if that was just availability or just the way it is now, but, you know, we enjoy cooking different things. So when I get to go on a show like this and just cook, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're cooking on a grill. You can find a way to cook stuff on a grill, and so that's why I told him, because Corey's like, well, it's a heat source, and I'm like, I grilled everything on that plate. Everything on that plate is me.
Yeah.
So I can't, you know, that's what I'm telling you. And so it worked out good for me. It was great, and I think everybody had fun. And, geez, you know, we get to grill stuff on TV, and every once in a while we get a check or whatever. It's not a bad day, you know. And even for Rich, you know, poor guy, he just, you know, I think he was a little hard on himself. But I've been there, man. He doesn't have to tell me anything, you know. So I know, and I sent him a message, and I hope he'll make a positive spin on it, and I'm sure he will. He said, but it's tough. It's not something you want to talk about, you know, especially after it comes on TV and everybody, all your friends see it. And
you know, he didn't. I mean, I think he was ambitious to go for the macaroni and cheese because, like I said to Rex, if it had been successful, he would have kicked ass. So, you know, it just happened to be that it wasn't. And
it was a risky deal.
Absolutely.
I think that he was looking around going, man, I better bring something. These guys don't look like they're playing, because I don't think I cracked a smile until after the second round, until I went to the final round. I don't think I was smiling or doing anything. So, I had my game face on when I got there, and I had my game face on when I left. And so I think he knew that he had to bring it hard, and I think everybody kind of knew that. I'm just not as smart as everybody thinks. I just tried to do what I know how to do and not complicate things. You know, poor Corey over there, he's got all kinds of skills. I don't have those skills. I can just grill stuff. So I try not to overcomplicate things and make it simple. And I think that was the best way to do it. And I think for anybody going to do one of these shows, is simplicity is the best thing you can do.
Well, congratulations. I mean, you did a great job. It was a lot of fun. You know, they're always a lot of fun to watch. Any of the competition cooking is a lot of fun to watch. And when it's something that we enjoy doing, like Barbecue Pitmasters, like American Grilled or the Chopped Grilled, I love that series too. So it was a lot of fun to watch. And I appreciate your time. Anything else you want to leave us with tonight?
No, I appreciate you having us on, and I appreciate the folks watching and all the people that sent me messages and have supported what we do for all these years. I mean, I feel like I'm the luckiest guy on the planet. I got the best job in the world. I get to ride around and cook barbecue, and, you know, sometimes when I go to the contest, I don't make any money.
But
most of the time when I go catering, I make my money. So it's not really a bad day. You feel a little bit bad or you feel down, but I just feel like I'm one of the luckiest people that get to do this every single week. This is my job. I don't have to go punch a clock. I don't have to be anywhere. You know, I drink coffee and answer emails in the morning when I'm not shopping or prepping or cooking. And so it's a good day.
It's a good day
every day. And, you know, I don't wish bad luck or ill will towards anybody. I wish everybody gets to do what they truly love to do in their life and be happy with it. And that's all. I mean, that's it. I want everybody just to be happy with whatever. I mean, I don't hate on anybody. Hey, I'm happy for anybody that gets to do this on TV or gets to do it at a competition.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely a great thing. It's a great thing. And anytime they put a TV show on that puts in light what we get to do, people shouldn't hate.
Nope. It's all good, man. All right, Jim.
All
thanks
good.
So
I appreciate
much. Keep us posted, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. That's
bye-bye.
Jim Stanso. Bye-bye. That's Jim Stanso with Bare Knuckle Barbecue, winner from last week of American Grilled. And, you know, I think if we had gone on, we'd have talked about we just want world peace, too. So we are on to Mark. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you, Miss Frazee?
I'm great. We've got Mark Bateman with us from the Hobbs, New Mexico. So let's see, what time is it there?
Well, it's 6 o'clock in the
okay,
evening.
So you're only 2 hours behind me.
Yes.
Mark is the organizer of the Hobbs, New Mexico contest, and it is the first FBA, Florida Barbecue Association, sanctioned contest in any place outside of Southeast. So tell us what you got going on out there, because you guys have really been busy working this contest.
Well, thank you, Miss Lori. I'll start first and tell you why we chose FBA. We chose FBA because, personally, I am a barbecue cook, and out here in this part of the world, most of the sanctioning bodies are IBCA, and we have a few KCBS contests. But when you look at what the FBA had to offer as far as from a cook's perspective, it looked to me to be the most cook-friendly sanctioning body. In other words, you're going to get a scorecard at the end, which IBCA you don't. But like IBCA, it had the one-hour turn-in times, which our guys are used to.
Mm-hmm.
And like IBCA, you don't have any garnishment in the box, which our guys are also used to. And quite frankly, we're hoping to draw some cooks out of the fine state of Florida to compete against these boys out here in West Texas. That, you know, these West Texas fellas think they're the king of barbecue, and quite frankly, we know that there's some awesome cooks out there in Florida. And it looked like a good way to entice the Florida boys to come on out here and compete against the West Texas boys. And let's find out who does cook the better barbecue.
Well, and it looks like you're going to get some of them, because my understanding now, and you tell us if I'm right, that Dana Hillis, Big Papa's Country Kitchen, has signed up.
Well, he's not signed up yet, okay. They have told me that they are making every effort possible. They're dealing with some personal issues, and if they can get those lined out, I think Dana's wanting to drag out here and compete. Rub Bagby is going to fly in, and he's going to use my personal equipment to cook on. So that's two we know that. And then we've got Mr. Jim, he's thinking about coming out if his back will allow it. So, you know, we're looking at three of the best, you know, or some of the best that the state of Florida has to offer, and we're excited about that. Out here on the West Texas end, we've got Junior Urias, who just won the Texas Pitmaster Edition.
Right.
He's signed up and paid and ready to go. Big Mo has signed up, and he's going to come down from Iowa. And then, you know, we've got some teams coming out of Granbury, which is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Oh, okay.
That are salty, are very good IBCA cooks. And, you know, we've visited with Michelle Wade, who is Ronnie Wade's wife. We anticipate they'll be signing up, and for you folks out in the Florida area, old Ronnie he's been the king of IBCA probably for the last decade. He wins just about anywhere he goes. So we're looking at an elite field of cookers, and we think it's a contest that folks here will be proud of, and the cooks can walk away saying, you know what, for a first year event, these folks know how to spoil a cook. What we've got in store for the cooks. First of all, we've got $30,000 prize purse in the barbecue, and then we've added another nearly $4,000 in a steak cook-off as a side event. And then we're going to pay $1,000 to whoever drags the furthest, pulls their equipment the furthest. Because we are oil and gas country out here, and we just feel like that ought to be a part of the prize package. Give somebody $1,000 worth of gasoline if that's what they choose to use it on.
That's a haul. So that's a great. I just heard that this weekend, and I'll tell you that at the Live Oak contest, as I was getting around to see the teams because I was judging this weekend. There was a lot of chatter about the contest. I know that Jimmy Brode and Terry McKay are thinking about teaming up and coming out, and they cooked together this weekend. So, and, you know, everybody's talking about that $30,000, too.
Well, Miss Lori, we're to kind of give you a breakdown, we're paying $15,000 in the four meat categories, okay? First place ribs will get you $1,000. First place brisket, first place pork, first place chicken, all of them are paying $1,000. And then we're paying $5,000 to the grand champion. You know, also we're paying 10 spots deep in the overall. Kind of the way that breaks down, I'm not going to go through all 10 spaces for you, but we're paying $5,000 for the grand, $3,000 for the reserve, $2,000 third place, $1,500 for fourth place, and you win $1,000 if you finish fifth in the overall.
Yeah, that's amazing. How many teams do you have signed up so far, Mark?
Right now, as of this evening, we've got 28 teams signed up, and I've got verbal commitment on another 35.
Oh, okay. Now, is it a qualifier for any of the other contests?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. We're tied in with Barbecue Superstars contest. We are a qualifying event for world championship as far as
right.
I think that BSPN is what I call it. I think the their world championships in South Carolina.
Yep.
But we're also an American Royale qualifier.
Okay.
And if as a first year contest, my understanding is if we hit 50 teams, which I think we'll do blindfolded, will be a jack qualifier. And the beautiful thing about coming out here for you Florida folks, okay, there's not but three contests in the state of New Mexico that are jack qualifiers. So if you come out here, you come out here and win, okay, you got, you know, 33% chance of getting your ticket stamped to be in that jack.
Wow. I don't know, but I'm guessing some of the guys would look at that because, you know, everybody wants to play with Jack. So, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Well, like I say, now, you know, when people think of New Mexico, Hobbs, New Mexico sits 3 miles west of the Texas state line.
Right.
And most folks here in Hobbs, you know, if you ask us, you know, where are you from, we answer Hobbs, America. And the reason for that is Texas don't, you know, New Mexico don't want us and Texas won't have us. I mean,
so you're your own place, huh?
That's the way it is. Most of the people here are highly conservative, and our state, as far as Santa Fe and Albuquerque, them folks are a long ways from conservative. We believe in getting up in the morning and working a full day and earning everything we get. And like I say, I think we ended up in New Mexico because of, Gaston Purchase or something moved us out of Texas. But we are right on the Texas line. Our event is going to be held in the Lee County Event Center. It has housed people like Alan Jackson. We have enough room for probably 150 barbecue rigs.
Wow.
It's a very nice facility. Right around the corner for you folks that like a little more excitement is the Lee County Black Gold Casino. So if that fancies your taste, you can just go right around the corner to the casino. Now, I will tell you this for you folks coming from Florida. Okay, we're not much to look at. Okay, our terrain is more of a desert. Now, the thing you folks from Florida will like is we don't have a whole lot of humidity.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody around here is whining when it gets up to about 40%.
Oh. See, the folks from Florida, Mark, have to bring lotion because our skin will all be drying up. But, boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. And Miss Lori, I understand the Florida terrain. I've got a place there in the panhandle between Bonifay and Graceville, Florida.
Oh, sure.
So I understand. I understand y'all's humidity problem, but like I say, now it's a dry heat, but you know, so is a microwave.
Yeah, it is.
And we chose September for two reasons. Okay, we chose the dates we chose because number one, it did not conflict with any other barbecue cook-off in our area. Within about a 350-mile range.
That's great.
The other reason we chose the date that we did is at the time that we signed up to join partnering up with FBA, there were no other FBA contests that weekend. And like I say, we're excited about having it. The community has stepped up unbelievably. What we're doing is 100% of the entry fees that teams pay is donated to charity. It's going to be split up between our Head Start program, and then we have a program out here that we call Team Court, where the teams actually hand out the discipline for minor misdemeanors to, you know, other teams, like traffic tickets and things of that nature that are not serious in nature. They have their own court, their own judge, different kids that actually are attorneys. It puts them in the legal system, hands-on, if you will. And it's a great program. We've had several kids that come through that program that ended up being attorneys. And what we're going to do is split those proceeds up between those two charities.
Wow. Let me ask you this. How are you guys handling the judges? Now, I know that you've got reps coming in from Florida because I saw the list of the reps coming out there. I know Sheila Jones and her husband are coming out. And so how will they handle covering the amount of judges that you're going to need?
Well, what we're doing, okay, and we also have three different couples from the fine state of Florida that are certified FBA judges. In fact, one couple are master judges, whatever that means, okay? I'm not smart enough to know FBA system, but they're flying out and paying their own way to come and be judges at our event, which we're just totally excited about. But on the local level, what we're doing is we're requiring, okay, that if you want to judge, okay, you will have to sit through a class that is being taught on that Thursday and Friday night prior to the contest.
Right.
Okay, you will have to sit through that class in order to be a judge.
Yeah, because, and I'm guessing you've got Marty and Karen Hyde coming out, because I didn't actually ask them if they were coming out for that.
Well, Miss Lori, I could drag my computer out and drag up my email and tell you exactly who it was coming out. I know one of them is Kyle Russell. The other one's last name is Rackert, R-A-C-K-A-R-T. And the third couple of I mean, my memory's, I can't remember. I'd have to dig that out for you.
And we're not even concerned about that. I just, you know, I didn't know what you guys were going to do because this is such a huge undertaking for you guys. And to get certified judges, I'm totally impressed with you guys.
Well, our people here on the local level, they're excited. Okay, they're excited that we're having the event first and foremost. Second of all, they're excited that Daryl Mast and Barbecue Superstars and yourself are going to come out and interview people, and you know you're entered in the state cook-off, and I've been promoting that out of here because of, you know, you haven't been on American Grill. And quite frankly, the people are excited that folks would consider coming to our town, okay, to enter this competition. And we're going to have to do some educating, okay? Our town, you know, we're going to have to make sure the public understand that these cooks are, you know, their interest is not to feed the public or to sell barbecue plates, okay? They're chasing the prize.
Right.
And so we're going to have to do some educating in the newspaper prior to the contest, and we're planning on doing that. But our community is excited, okay? Last night, I stood before the city council and asked them for $25,000 of lodgers tax money to help fund our event. Okay, it was approved unanimously by the city council. All
wow.
they wanted to know at the end was, could they judge?
Oh,
I said, yes, you can be judges provided you sit through the class. I said, now, if you don't want to sit through the class, then we can't use you as a judge. Because these guys are traveling from all over the country. They're spending $500 probably on meat trying
oh, yeah.
to win the prize money, win a golden ticket to either the Royale or the Jack or the BSPN World Championship. I said, this is not a game for them, and if you want to be a judge, we feel like you need to be serious enough to attend one of the classes.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
all agreed totally.
Wow. Yeah, because that's new. I mean, isn't it the Texas group that, you know, you just have to be 18 and like barbecue. So it is a new concept for them.
Well, it's definitely new because IBCA, okay, it's just like you said, okay, if you're breathing, got a pulse, and over 18 and want to eat, okay, well,
yeah.
you're qualified.
Yeah.
Okay, and
yeah.
they'll, you know, they're going to tell you about three or four things. They're going to tell you, well, you know, you might look for a smoke ring, okay, and, you know, other than that, it's just your taste, okay? So, like I say, the concept of I mean, people are excited about sitting through the class here, Miss Lori, because they're going to learn about barbecue.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what's
going
to be really neat.
And I mean the teams. Okay, the teams in West Texas, okay, are saying, can we sit in that class? Are you going to charge us to sit in that class? I said, no, we're not going to charge you to sit in that class. So we'll probably have packed house both Thursday and Friday night of people that are setting through those classes to understand what the FBA is looking for.
Yeah, that'll be great. Hey, I just got lost, but do you know if Craig Sherry from Texas Pepper Jelly is going to be there?
No, I do not. I've not heard from Craig.
I may have to give him a shout-out because, you know, I always enjoy chatting with him, but we talk about the different sanctioning bodies in Texas, and that's what's so different and unique about Texas, that you have basically four sanctioning bodies out there, but, you know, two main ones. I'm so excited that you guys have, you know, taken this challenge and you're just really running with it. Was there any other contests that you're doing besides the steak? I didn't think there was, but I just want to make sure that I'm not missing anything else.
No, ma'am. We're going to do the steak, and the primary reason we're going to do the steak is everybody out in this part of the world fancies themselves as steak cooks.
Yeah.
And out here in this oil field, okay, there's a lot of cooking that goes on, okay, but primarily, okay, it's not barbecue, it's steak cooking.
Right.
Because you can roll up and feed your customers within an hour by cooking them a steak and pre-making the potato salad and warming up the beans. Okay, so a lot of companies in the Hobbs area, okay, feed their oil field customers out in the middle of the pasture, okay, by cooking steaks.
Okay.
And what we're trying to do with the steak cook is, yeah, we want all the barbecue cooks to enter, of course. Okay, but what we were trying to do with that, Miss Lori, is create a local competition among companies, okay, to enter that and cook against each other and get a little trash talk going. And,
sure.
We're also going to try to get the local radio stations involved in that steak cook-off competing against each other.
Yeah, that's a great concept because that's one more reason that the locals will rally around the overall event, too.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
But like I say, you know, we've as far as local barbecue teams in Hobbs, New Mexico, there's two. mine.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I have a team, okay, and we travel around competing everywhere that, you know, we can drag to, okay, and I have competed in Dothan, Alabama. Now, it's been 5-6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but, well, we made a mini family reunion out of it. Kid folks all came up from the panhandle of Florida, and we made a mini family reunion out of it, and it's the first time I ever cooked anything other than IBCA.
Oh,
okay?
Wow.
And so it was a rude awakening for me.
Sure.
Okay, I roll up with my half a chicken, and they said, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah,
I said,
exactly.
Well, I was kind of planning on cooking it. And they said, oh, no, you're going to have to turn in pieces. And so I'm scrambling going to the grocery store trying to figure out what I'm going to turn in. But, you know, we had a big time down there, and them folks in Dothan, Alabama treated us well.
Yeah.
You know, I met Daryl Massett there years and years ago. But, like I say, the reason we chose FBA wasn't because of my experience in Dothan, Alabama. It's because my experience as a cook. And what
yeah.
we're trying to do is run as cook-friendly a contest as there is in America. Now, the only shortcoming we're going to have is, you know, bring your own water. Okay, because we ain't going to have water. Now, we're going to have electricity for you. And for about every four teams, we're going to have a junior college baseball player in a golf cart, okay, to haul off your trash, carry you to the turn-in spot, fetch ice for you.
Oh, okay.
Like I say, we're going to do, you know, try to make it as comfortable that way as we can. The event center, we're going to have the judges indoors doing their judging in air conditioning. Okay, we're going to also have the award ceremony indoors under the air conditioner. So we've got live music planned for Friday night. We've got three different local bands that are going to participate. And,
oh, that's great.
All three of them are quality.
Quality
bands that have been playing for many years, and getting paid to play.
Well, you know, it really does seem like you guys haven't missed much. I mean, you guys have thought this out. How long have you been planning to do a sanctioned contest there?
Well, I'll tell you how this started, okay? This started with my buddy Tom Pierce, okay? Tom Pierce was a county commissioner. In November of last year, he started pestering me.
Oh.
He said, Mark, I want to run a barbecue cook-off. He said, and I want to bring some of the big-name teams in. What am I going to have to do? He said, would you help me? And I said, Tom, I don't have any interest in helping you. I said, I don't. I said, you build it, and I'll enter. He said, no, I need your help. Well, we argued for about 2 months, and in January I agreed to help him. Okay, but he said, how much money is it going to take? I said, we need $30,000, Tom. And he said, oh, that's no problem, okay. Well, about 2 weeks later, he said, well, I got $20,000 in the bank. Are you ready to help me?
Wow.
I said, no, not really. But I agreed in January to help him. And then Tom, a good buddy, he passed away on March 31st. He died from complications of diabetes. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, he had picked the charities that we were going to help. It was his baby, but I'm trying to finish it up for him, okay, like a lonesome dove, you know, where the old boy carries him back to the river.
Aww.
That's what I'm doing with this barbecue contest. We're trying to finish it up and do what his hopes and dreams were.
Well.
Now, the steak cook-off part of it, we named that after him. It's the Tom Pierce Memorial Steak Cook-off.
I saw that. Okay.
And 100% of the proceeds from that steak cook-off will go toward local diabetes issues.
Great. Great. Well, you're definitely going to fulfill a legacy for him. You're doing a great job. I mean, you're really working the contest. I'm looking so forward to, you know, covering it with Daryl. We're really excited about being out there. So if there's anything we can do for you, let me know, and I look forward to meeting you in a couple months.
Well, Miss Lori, thank you so much for having me on tonight. Thanks so much for entering the steak cook-off. Like I say, even without your permission, I've been trying to stir these boys up about cooking against a TV star.
Oh, and, yeah, TV star.
You know,
huge.
Well, you know, like I say, you've been on TV. That's more than any of these folks out here has ever done. But, you know, we're excited to have y'all. We're excited you're coming out to see our community, meet our people. Like I say, this place ain't much to look at, but the folks is friendly, and they're excited about everybody coming out, and we're going to lay out the red carpet as best we know how to make it an enjoyable experience for everybody that'll, you know, come take a chance on Hobbs.
All right. Listen, Mark, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to it. Best of luck on getting the rest of the teams, and I'll see you in a couple months.
All right, Miss Laura, you have a good evening.
You too. Thanks so much.
Right,
okay, so that's Mark Bateman, and he is out in Hobbs. There's still room. Obviously, there's all kinds of room out there. So get a hold of him, and you can be part of the Hobbs New Mexico contest, okay? And we're going to our last guest this evening. Forrest, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me, Lori?
I can hear you perfectly. How's everything up your way?
Oh, it's good. It's good. I just come out of a meeting I'm sure you're very familiar with. Had an FFA alumni meet tonight.
And is that for, I think one other time I was talking to you and you were, you and it seems like whenever I get Butcher on the phone, somehow or another he's on his way to a FFA meeting of some sort. Are you? Is that at the school? Are you helping out there?
Yeah. It's, you know, you're a ex-FFA advisor, aren't you?
Yes. No, I'm an ex-FFA advisor. I was a teacher before, so I'm no longer an advisor. I was an honorary chapter member of down in Alva. So, but are you helping out with the local one? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. While I'm thinking about it, I want to do a shout out to Mark. I come in kind of on the tail end of his segment. I remember Mark being in Dothan, Alabama. I was either right across from him or catty corner from him in my trailer, and there was some unusual smells coming from over his side. He had a load of mesquite wood with him. I don't think anybody had ever smelled mesquite smoke. That's that much mesquite smoke at one time.
Yeah, and you know that's kind of one of those things. I mean, actually, the only mesquite at my house is what I used to turn wood with, and I still have a little bit of mesquite left, which is kind of funny because you don't think about how different that smell is at a contest.
Right.
Yeah, that's funny. Now, it really, are you thinking about going out there?
To Hobbs?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I have looked at it. I don't know if I'll make the trip or not, you know, we talked earlier this year, and my intentions this year was to kind of take this year off, and I had, you know, those plans kind of fell through, and I have cooked some. I haven't cooked near as much this year as I have in the past, but you know, I'll just leave it at that. I have looked at Hobbs. I don't know if I'll go or not yet, but you know, I'm open for it.
Yeah, they really have done an exceptional job, and I think they're super excited about it. But let's talk about what else you're doing. I know you weren't intending to cook a lot of barbecue contests this year. You're going to take some time off. But what are you kind of branching into?
Well, I'm really getting into what I'd rather do, you know, otherwise, and what my intentions was years ago. Before I ever even started competition barbecue, I was interested in competition Dutch oven cooking, and I never have done any of that until this year, simply because of distance. But I'm you know, most people that know me on the barbecue circuit know that I'm no stranger to driving all night on Thursday night to get to a contest by daylight on Friday morning. And,
part of that has to do with your logistics, too, because you are up there. I give you and Winks and Ed Hardwick, I give you guys so much respect for the distance you guys drive on a regular basis for contests. I don't think people really realize it.
Yeah, 200 miles is I consider a 200-mile away contest a local contest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good. So you've gotten into the Dutch oven a little bit. Tell us about the last contest you did.
Well, the last contest I did, I don't really want to talk about that too much. I like the contest before the last one a lot better, but I will
say
the last.
Okay, let's talk about that one.
Okay, well, Dutch oven competition, you know, and I've cooked around 250 barbecue competitions in my career, and the Dutch oven contest is more of a challenge because of other stipulations. You've got three categories instead of four, but within each category, you know, you've just got a main dish category. You don't have a brisket category or a rib category. You have a main dish, a bread, and a dessert category. And the real challenge is picking out what you want to cook in each respective category to be competitive. You know, people in Florida and the Southeast, you know, that's been around me cooking on the Dutch oven, you know, One of the most called for and most favorite dishes of most everybody as far as desserts go is my copper. You know, I do a pretty good copper. You know, most people say it's phenomenal. I think it's just a good copper. But a copper is something that as a dessert in a barbecue competition, a Dutch oven competition, I never do because it's not going to be at that competitive level. You know, it's too simple of a dish.
Right. So what are they looking for?
Well, they're looking for something that's good, of course. You know, just like any other kind of contest, they're looking at something that the difficulty level it's not something that can be done simply. I think a lot of it is looking for individual recipes, you know, not something that you find in a cookbook, you know, an original individual recipe.
Do you turn in a recipe when you turn it in, Forrest?
Yes, you turn in a recipe, and they also have field judges.
Really?
I'm not in the confines and privacy of my trailer anymore. You know, I'm out in the open under a 10x10 tent. And they have field judges that go around and kind of keep an eye on things and make sure that everything's done accordingly to the recipe.
Oh,
you don't have liners or you don't have molds. You know, I've got some beautiful you know, teddy bear molds and stuff like that I can set down in a Dutch oven and make these cute little teddy bear biscuits or teddy bear cakes and stuff like that. But you can't use stuff like that at a sanctioned event. It has to be done in the Dutch oven. It, you know, I think
on natural.
Right. You can use a trivet in most cases. You know, if you need a trivet, a piece of large meat or something. But as far as a mold or a cake pan or you know something like that, that's unallowed.
Huh. So when you're looking at this now, how many contests have you actually done? Because that's what surprised me when we were talking the other day.
Excuse me, say that again, Lori.
How many actual Dutch oven contests have you really done?
I've done two sanctions contests,
okay.
And that's been this year. I've done a couple of other little small things, you know, in the past, but as far as sanctioned contests, the closest thing sanctioned to me at this time is in Louisiana, which is North Louisiana, which is almost in Arkansas, and 500 miles one way to that contest. And ironically, I'm not going to be able to cook that contest, the closest one to me, because I'll be at Claremont doing the little class on Friday night at the Fun Cook that weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I'll miss
the closest one.
Oh, geez. Now, that one that you went and you got reserve grand champion, how far away was that?
That was in Moulton, Arkansas. I think it was about 650 miles one way.
Wow. And
yeah.
And let me ask you this, because this is a whole new animal for you. What kind of prize money are we talking about?
It's that's another reason why I went with the barbecue. I've been in my barbecue career. I've been very successful. I've certainly been a lot more successful at it than I ever imagined in my wildest dreams. But the distance and the payout, is a big thing with the Dutch oven competitions. They're at Moulton, Arkansas State Championship. I was reserve grand there. They call the top three in each category. I got two calls. I got a second, a third, and a fourth. And the reserve, the payout was $175, and I drove 650 miles one way. So, and then of course, the charity, just like in barbecue contest, the seven contests have charities that they do a lot of times, and it was a scholarship thing, and I gladly donated that back. So, it's a lot about bragging rights.
Sure.
It's a personal thing with me. It's what I'd rather be doing. It's what I want to do, and it's what I'm doing.
Yeah, because obviously you're not going to make it big doing that. Now, I was always under the impression, and I mean, I'm not sure if I'm correct on this, but I was always under the impression you actually cooked all your barbecue contests in Dutch ovens. Do you?
No, I don't. I've got smokers there in the back of my trailer that I cook on. I've got two Vikings in there currently that I cook on. I cook on Langs lots of times. But I have cooked three, maybe four contests, solely on Dutch ovens. And one time in particular, I remember I had my smokers bolted to the floor in the back of my trailer. I actually unbolted them and unloaded them to go to the contest because several people had accused me of actually cooking my turn-in in the smoker. And I removed all temptation, reasons
Question.
For anybody to talk or anything, and had nothing but about 14 Dutch ovens, and I still walked the stage twice.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's a different animal. So tell us a little bit about the class you're going to do. And actually, somebody this weekend, because we were talking about it, said that you offer that you're doing a barbecue school, but are you doing a regular Dutch oven school up at your place?
Yeah. I hadn't done one yet this year. Like I said, my intentions were to kind of stay around home and do a little bit more of meat stuff, and it hadn't really happened so far yet this year as far as getting into that as much, but we're offering the Dutch oven classes. The name of the school is the Southeastern Institute of Outdoor Cooking. It's just what the name implies. It's all having to do with outdoor cooking. I've got another thing I really like doing is cooking on a wood stove, and I've got two wood stoves. One One's a real nice one, actually got a water heater on it, and I plan on setting those up and even giving small wood stove cooking classes.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that you offered that, and I don't remember who said it because we were talking. I mean, I know there's several people signed up for the class at the Fun Cook. What are you planning to do with us there?
I'm going to give you all the time of y'all's life.
Oh, wow, Forrest. I haven't had somebody say that for a long time to me.
Sorry, man. It's gonna be fun. I always enjoy doing stuff like that, and I think the people that's in attendance always enjoy it. I'm gonna go over some basic stuff, and not real formal, not real complicated. There's gonna be some basic stuff. There's gonna be some demonstration type stuff, and then we're gonna eat.
And then we're gonna eat. Okay, because you know I think the biggest problem we're all trying to figure out. What we should plan to make, because after we take your class, you know, we're going to compete against each other the following day. So how does somebody interested in getting into it, how do they start to decide? I mean, because obviously that's what you said is part of the problem, you know, deciding what to cook. And I didn't realize that they had field judges out there. So take us through that a little bit.
Well, that, you know, like I said, that's the challenge. That's a big challenge of the Dutch Oven competition is deciding what you're gonna cook within each category to be competitive. You know, you just first of all, you want to cook something that you can cook, something that you're capable of doing, and that's kind of what happened to me at the contest that I don't really like to talk much about. Was I cooked outside of my comfort zone, and
you did?
You know, I cooked some stuff that, you know, that's relatively easy to cook at home, but in the competition setting, it, you know, it's a little different. You only got three to 4 hours maximum to do this, and I'm working by myself, and I got this much time to, from beginning to turn in to do three categories by myself, and which is no big deal for me. But in Western Missouri, there's this thing called wind that don't have in the Panhandle. And every time, and, you know, and I'm trying to follow these unfamiliar recipes to me, and I lay my recipe down on the table, and the next thing I know, I'm chasing it across the park over there.
Oh.
Because the wind just done took everything, and it just flustered me. You know, you've been around me cooking at barbecue contests before. I'm inside my trailer. I'm inside my zone. You know, I don't have wind blowing. I don't, you know, people's not walking up and asking me a question or anything. I'm in my trailer, and I'm in my zone, and I've got my happy spot in there, and I do what I do.
Right.
But, you know, it is different, and, you know, and most everybody knows that I cook by myself. I'm very independent. You know, I like cooking by myself. That's all I want to do. But, you know, if something don't turn out right, I know who done it. But the Dutch Oven competitions are a little bit differently. They're done a little bit differently. They require two people on a team.
They do?
And they don't allow you to leave your site unattended. And I suppose that's for fire hazard stuff.
Oh,
you know, reasons,
yeah.
Because you're dealing with live coals, you know, that are just sitting on a table or whatever, and the two sanctioned contests that I have cooked, you know, the contest reps at those contests have been kind of lenient on that. They realized, you know, when I called ahead and checked on it and said, hey, I cooked by myself, is there a problem with that? And there wasn't a problem. But I do intend on going to the world or qualifying for the world championship out in Sandy, Utah. That's my goal in the Dutch Oven world, to cook the world championship.
Okay, so they do have a category for Dutch Oven.
No, and I'm not talking about the World Food Championship. I'm talking about the Dutch Oven World Championship Cook-Off. It's called the WCCO. It's held in Sandy, Utah, in like March of every year. It's not the World Food Championship. It's the Dutch Oven World's Championship.
Okay, because I think they ought to be part of the World Food Championship. So I was all excited.
Well, that might be in the making. I don't know, but they have their own. It's kind of like the roll is to park.
Sure.
It's the Dutch Oven World's roll or Jack or whatever. And,
do you have to
qualify for that? You have to cook qualifying contest, and that's what I'm cooking. And you've got the grand there in order to be eligible or to be invited.
Okay.
And I intend on being invited to the world. But when you get to the world, it is very strict. You must have two people on your team.
Oh.
And me and a fellow Dutch Oven cook, we have combined forces. We will start next month in Kansas. We'll be cooking together. We've never cooked together. We've cooked against each other. We've got a team name for when we cook together. Miss Susan Erickson out of Arkansas. Miss Susan Cheesecake Lady Erickson. Me and her is teaming up. Watch out for. We don't rent pigs. That's our team name.
What is it called?
We don't rent pigs. And
that's what I
thought. And just, Mark made reference to Lonesome Dove. That's where that came from. Remember the sign on the back of the buckboard with the pig following? We don't rent pigs. That's the team to watch out for in 2015.
Okay, so and you said that comes up in March. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's when the world is in Sandy. I believe it's in March.
Okay, well, that's a great. I mean, that's a great ambition to set your sights on because it's not that far out. What do you have planned for the rest of the year as far as competitions and the Dutch Oven?
Well, I'll be in Kansas next month. In September, I will be at the Texas State Fair in Dallas.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And other than that, pretty much the fun cook is the only thing else I'll be doing out in public on Dutch Ovens. There's several other contests left in the calendar year 14, but most of them are out in Utah, and I did look, and the closest one to me is 1,925 miles one way.
Oh my goodness!
So I don't think I'll be cooking those.
Do you see it as something that could potentially come to Florida Forest?
But yes, it's very possible. The wheels are already turning on that, and there is a chapter in Florida, the Cracker Trail down in the Central South Florida area. They've been in existence for several years, and I think there's another one. There's another one on the over on the ocean coast, I believe.
Oh, really?
Called I don't remember what it's called, but they don't have those organizations. They haven't been having any sanctioned contests. They have what's called DOGS, D-O-G. That stands for Dutch Oven Gathering. That's where a bunch of people that are Dutch oven enthusiasts get together, and they all get together for fellowship, and they all cook something. It's like a family reunion potluck thing. Everybody shows up and cooks something. But there's no competition involved.
Yeah.
And anybody that knows me knows that I'm competition driven. At a barbecue contest, I call it Saturday morning barbecue cocaine. In between 6 o'clock a.m. till 2 o'clock p.m. I'm there for the thrill and the stamina of that rush, that extreme rush that's unexplainable that comes upon you on Saturday morning while you're working towards turn in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this, I mean, I'm super excited about it. I think you saw that I got a gift this week of one of those Dutch ovens with the lid, so I'm really excited about that. And then I also need to talk to you because there's a couple things. You are a Lodge dealer, is that correct, for people to know?
That's correct. That's correct. So, the Lodge cast iron stuff, and also, you know, a lot of people the last few years have seen me cook on a lot of cast aluminum, and the GSI cast aluminum ovens that I really like to cook on a lot. I'm a dealer for those as well.
Okay, so somebody could get a hold of you via Facebook, or how else could they get a hold of you if they were interested
either
in maybe ordering?
Facebook or give me a call on the phone.
Okay.
You know, I don't keep that stuff on hand a lot. Don't get up with me and say, hey, I need this tomorrow, or I want this after tomorrow evening. You know, I need a little bit more lead time than that, because I'm on order, because I think we had had this conversation a few days ago. If I have it on hand, the temptation is it's like a 3-year-old under a Christmas tree at Christmas time with all them pretty presents right there. If I have it on hand for 3 or 4 days, I'm probably gonna open the box and then it's unsellable. You know, it's mine then.
Yeah. Well, I definitely will be giving you a call because there's a couple things I want you to check into for me. But I appreciate your time, Forrest. It's always great to talk to you. I wish there was a way to bring it to Florida, like, immediately. And if you decide to, I'm your girl to help you get it going, because I would like participate in it.
Well, hey, keep in mind, matter of fact, I got an email. Well, you know Mr. Jay Robinson.
Sure.
Well, I got an email from Jay latter part of last week, I believe, and probably somewhere in February, early February, there's possibly going to be something going on.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, so me and Jay's been talking, and, you know, and that's kind of where I'll leave it for right now. I don't want to kind of bust his bubble or anything, but me and Jay's been communicating.
All right. Well, it sounds great, and we're looking forward to the class. I know you still have some spaces, so if somebody wants to take your class, and I think it was only $20, which I know that somebody said yours is a couple of hundred when it's up at your place. So $20 is going to be a steal, and it's going to be the best time of our life. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
I think they've actually got it listed as 30. I'm not sure. I hadn't really paid that much attention. I think it's 30, but whatever it is, it's going to be money well spent.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, and I appreciate your time. Listen, thanks. We're about out of time here for the night. So,
hey,
Forrest?
Always enjoy it, Lori, and don't forget one thing.
What?
We don't rent pigs.
Yeah. All right, Forrest, thanks so much for your time, man.
Thank you, Lori.
All right, take care. That's Forrest Dillmore, and remember, he doesn't rent pig, but, you know, he's got that Dutch oven class coming up, Forrest Fine Foods. He's been a great competitor for the Florida Barbecue Association, and he's a past president, too. So, you know, if you're looking to get Dutch oven, give Forrest a call. He can talk to you about it. I mean, he has hundreds, so he can advise you in a great capacity. Listen, want to thank everybody again for being part of the show, but like to just a reminder, Jim does have some spaces left on his cooking class August 2nd and 3rd, Sweet Smoke Q, and he's one of my sponsors. So if you're interested in taking a techniques class, you know, Jim doesn't hold anything back, and I'm sure it'll be money well spent also. Also like to thank Pirate 50, Custom Trophies and Signs. Dale does a great job. You can call him and pretty much talk him through what you're looking for. Royal Oak, Charcoal and Briquettes, both Lump and Briquettes, I'm super happy to have them on board. CookinPellets.com. Mac Daddy Smokers, who's having another part of their Mac Daddy Challenge, will be this coming weekend. So if you're one of the guys involved with that, good luck. They're doing two meets again this month. So good luck to them. And then I also like to thank my last sponsor, RecTech Pellet Cookers. Listen, guys, appreciate your time. If you're going someplace this weekend, safe travels. And remember, it's all good in the barbecue hood. I'll see you next Tuesday. And don't forget, the new American Grill's on tomorrow night. So check out the episode, and good luck to everybody on that. Until next week, folks, this is Lori. I'm out.